Welcome to Raising Well-Nourished Kids, your go-to parenting podcast for everyday strategies to help you raise emotionally resilient, happy, food-loving kids.
Hi, I'm Georgia Harding, a naturopath, founder of the Well-Nourished Family Membership, and proud mum of two thriving teenagers.
And I'm Jane Faulkner, a practicing psychotherapist, the founder of Equine Assisted Therapy Australia, and also a mum of two beautiful, busy kiddos.
Join us every week as we share practical tips to set your kids up for healthier eating habits, body positivity, and a lifelong love of whole foods. Let's dive in. Hey, welcome back to this week's podcast. So I know I've done this. I've said to my kids, eat your veggies and you can have dessert or you can have a treat or an ice cream or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I've learned from you, Jane, is that rewarding with food is a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And it can definitely impact on not only your child's relationship with food, but also their ability to be intrinsically motivated, which we're going to go into what that is if you don't know what that means. So as I said, I know I've done it. I'm sure you've done it.
Yeah,
you totally. Know, we're parents. Yes. And I'm very, very aware, acutely aware of not bringing food into this emotional arena, which is what this does.
Yeah.
But it seems so simple.
Yes.
So what's wrong with food rewards? Surely it's not such a big deal.
Yeah, far out. So I guess the main problem with food rewards is that it links being nourished by food with behavior.
Yeah.
If I do the right thing, I'll get the treat or I'll get fed. And if I don't do the right thing, then I don't get the treat. And so it can, there's studies now that really link of using food rewards with a child's self-esteem and a child's capacity to be intrinsically motivated, and it can lead to a child feeling less secure even in their relationship with you, which is quite
interesting.
So it can create more behavioral problems. So what they found with this kind of reinforcement, where you're trying to reinforce a good behavior and reduce a negative behavior, is that it's kind of on a limited time line that it'll work. So it can make food a tool for manipulation rather than a form of nourishment. And I never think that's a good thing. And like you said, we've both done it, but I don't recommend it. So it's really important that our kids feel secure in their relationship with us. And that comes with us being consistent, us being reliable, us being present and attuned. And attuned means that we notice when they're hungry, we notice when they're tired, we notice when they're moody, and we kind of do what we can most of the time. We're humans. We can't do it all the time, but we do what we can most of our time, most of the time, to kind of meet their needs. So we are kind of clear in our expectations and we're willing to step in and set boundaries. Setting boundaries is one of the hardest things we do as parents, but it is probably the most important thing, and it's how children, believe it or not, experience being loved and cared for through our boundary setting. So when we threaten to withhold food, or if we withhold our attention, our presence, or our love from our kids, at a biological level in our kids' bodies, it sends an alarming message to that child. Every kid is unique. All of us have a unique nervous system, and our nervous systems are activated in different ways. But because we are all mammals and we're wired for connection, we learn from a very young age to kind of abandon our authenticity or what our body needs to stay in the relationship, to stay attached. And this is where I never recommend bringing food and emotions together, or food as a way for your child to connect with you together. Because we're all different, using food as rewards, one kid might be really compliant. I was that kid. I ate everything on my plate, and it's a habit I still do.
Yeah.
I have lost touch with when I'm full. If I have a plate full of food, I eat everything on my plate.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same, and I have to say.
Yeah, and I've really started noticing that recently. Wow, I don't have a stop button. I don't have a connection with where I'm at, being full or not full.
Yeah.
And I think what's helped me see that is my daughter does. She will get to a point and just stop. And for me, that's been quite like, oh, wow. Because that was not how I was raised, and it's not in my system.
Yeah.
So there can be some kids that are really compliant but lose connection to their voice, their capacity to say no or to be clear on what they need, and they lose connection with their body's wisdom, because us from the outside, we're kind of saying this is what has to happen. Other kids can become more reactive around food as it's become something more than something that nourishes them. It's kind of been used as a tool to get them to do something. And it can lead to power struggles as the child learns to use food as a way to manipulate us.
Yeah. So they're clever.
Yeah, totally. So clever. Totally.
Even little, like toddlers, learn that. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So children then can refuse food or become increasingly fussy around food. Using food as a reward can also teach our kids to use food as a reward for themselves.
Yeah.
And this can
trap, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. It can lead to all kinds of issues with eating and food as our kids mature. So how many of you know, like I know friends that are like, oh, just get this job done and then I can have a box of Tim Tams, or I've finished my work for the day, so I'll treat myself to a bottle of wine. Or it's when we treat with food, we teach our kids to be extrinsically motivated. So that means motivated by something that's outside of them. What we want as parents, or definitely what I wanted as a parent, was to support my kids to develop intrinsic motivation.
Yeah. So what is intrinsic motivation? Like, for those of us who have absolutely no idea, why is it so important for our kids to develop into healthy humans?
Yeah. Mm. So intrinsic motivation is we're motivated to do something from the inside. It's like we're connected to ourselves, we're connected to what we need, and we have an internal desire to do something because it feels good for us to pursue and do it. It's really different to extrinsic motivation, which is when we're motivated by something that exists outside of ourselves, like food, other rewards, being validated by other people. When we're intrinsically motivated, we're more likely to stay engaged and to keep going even when things become challenging. So intrinsic motivation helps our kids develop grit. It helps them stay with things. It's the desire to be competent and to be able to master something, to be able to do the thing to a high level. It's not the desire to get things right or to be externally approved or to be validated.
Yeah, and that's so important, isn't it? It's like for their mental health.
Yeah, well, and for everything when we go through life.
Yes.
You know, when you're we're intrinsically motivated to do this podcast.
Absolutely.
And it's what wakes us up in the morning.
Yep.
And drives us to keep learning and growing as people.
Yes.
If we were getting rewarded for doing this podcast,
yep,
it changes
the
100%. Whole motivation behind it. And there's heaps of different research now that shows that when we start bringing in rewards, like they did this experiment with kids, and they had kids that some loved drawing, some really didn't like drawing. And so they brought in this reward system where everyone got a reward for drawing because they wanted more kids to draw. And what they found was, that at first everyone started drawing more.
Yep.
But over time, the kids that originally loved drawing started liking drawing less, and the kids that didn't really like drawing to begin with, it didn't change.
Yes.
And so they've done research, and there's another piece of research with kids that around reading, and where they, because, you know, there's kids that love to read, there's kids that don't like to read. And so they were rewarded with a pizza. So the more books they read during the holidays, then they could possibly win a pizza. And they found the same thing, that at the end of the holidays, the reading dropped off, and the kids that had been intrinsically motivated to read at the beginning and just did it because they loved it, that intrinsic motivation had decreased.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, that speaks obviously to the short-term advantages of rewarding with food.
Yes.
But it's interesting that the children who already had that behavior intrinsically instilled in them, actually, that the reward had the opposite effect, actually.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yes.
Really, really fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. It makes you think, doesn't it? Like, it makes me think as a parent of where I've done all this extrinsic reward, rewarding, and I've actually robbed my kids of that development of intrinsic motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So some psychologists believe that when we give food rewards and support our children to become extrinsically motivated, it can actually lead to more anxiety because they lose control of what they've achieved and whether that achievement's been enough and whether they've been good enough at something, because the validation's coming from outside them rather than from their own, like, wow, this is better than yesterday, or I feel like I'm getting this more, that intrinsic. So it can mean that kids fear not meeting expectations or stop engaging altogether because it's out of their control. So rewards can also make kids value other people's opinions above their own and set them up to behave in a way where they are always seeking external validation or reward to do something. And I can relate to that being a huge thing throughout my life, not being able to connect with my own intrinsic value and always looking to someone outside me to do it.
Yeah. So it's a hard no. The food rewards, we're rewarding with food. But as we said to start with, look, these things slip in because in the short term they absolutely bring results, don't they?
Yes, totally.
You know, but, you know, as we go through this, you know, as we expand on this podcast, introduce new concepts to you and ideas, I feel like you'll be less likely to need to rely on food rewards as your kind of only strategy for getting your kids to eat their veggies, which for a lot of people that is the case.
Yes.
So, you know, what are just a couple of little touch points of things that we can do to get the kids to eat their veggies without actually using this concept of rewarding?
Yeah, totally. So something I think we forget as parents is how kids are really cool. Mm. They're really smart. They're really savvy. And they can tell when you are honoring them as a little human, you know, and I don't mean they're not equal to us. They don't have the same life experience as us. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is where we honor their intelligence.
Yes.
You know, we're not talking down to them. And so I think a massive way that you can support your kids to eat whole foods, which also helps develop intrinsic motivation, is to educate them.
Yep.
So just educate without ramming it down their throats, obviously, but educate them about food.
And again, we're going to really develop on this concept and give you lots of ideas of ways to do this because, you know, there's so many ways that you can educate your kids and so many tools that we have available to us that don't take much time, don't cost money, that are just part of our day to day and that we can weave in, like you said, not make it a thing that you have to do, because we're definitely all for not giving you more things to do. Yes. That's really important to us with this podcast, isn't it?
Totally. Yeah. I guess for me, it's learning how to relate in a way that where you share your love of food with your kids, where you get curious about what they love, what they don't like. Choice is massive, where you always give them choice, where they have a say. And again, obviously, you're not going to kind of...
It's not complete control.
No, it's not Fruit Loops for dinner. But it's like, we're having chicken and we're going to have sweet potato and we're going to have a bit of capsicum.
Yep.
What else do you reckon we could add to this? Yeah. So it's kind of bringing them into the conversation, giving them choice, letting them know you value their opinion.
Yeah.
Being clear on at dinner we don't do Fruit Loops, you know, and this is why. Do you know, I notice in my body if I have sugar, this is how I feel. What do you notice? Yeah. So it's kind of...
It's all part of that education process,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, just also that piece of just not getting emotional, like not bringing any form of negative emotion into the arena of food, because they're very different. Food is not about emotion.
No.
Other than, you know, positive emotion, that is, like negative emotion. Food is about joy. It's about connection. It's pleasurable, you know, all of those positive things absolutely bring that into the equation. But the negative stuff, it has no place.
Yes, and kids are so tuned into when we're trying to manipulate them.
Absolutely.
So, you know, like if you need to step away, if you need to take a breath, sometimes we lose all perspective. Like I remember when my daughter was little and she'd been sick and she became really fussy and I lost all perspective.
Yeah, I had a stage of that as well.
Yeah, like I just was like, oh, my brain just went to the worst case scenarios. She's never going to eat again. And it's just remembering perspective, you know, okay, this is a moment in her journey, in my journey as a parent. So,
and it's resolvable
with
the right tools, which is hopefully, again, what we're going to be offering is with little tools and strategies.
Yes.
We can chip away at this. We can resolve this.
Totally.
And it's not all doom and gloom.
No. And it's days or weeks. It's not because that's where I lost perspective.
Yes.
I would be like, oh, my God, overdramatic. Yeah. And then it'd be like, I would put things in place and then look back a week later and go, oh, wow, things have really changed in a week. Yeah, so it's remembering that too. That
reflection is important.
Yeah.
I think as parents we don't do that enough, to be honest.
No.
We just focus on all the things we're not managing rather than focusing on the things that we're doing well.
Exactly.
But,
remembering that everything's constantly changing, you know.
Yeah, so. Kids are constantly changing the goalposts, especially more than anything.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. That's it for this week.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got lots more to come. So stay with us. We'll see you next time.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Raising Well-Nourished Kids podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about raising happy, emotionally resilient, food-loving kids, check out the Well-Nourished Kids program or follow us at Well-Nourished Kids on Instagram.
And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd really love it if you could take a moment to leave a review, subscribe, and share with a few friends.
Remember, it takes a village, and we're here to support you on your parenting journey.
We'll catch you next time.